You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
I guess when you're a preteen and you're playing on the playgrounds and using acorns for money, you really don't have a fear of all the pitfalls that are in go along with the business, running your own business. Certainly it didn't seem to affect this group of boys. They're still not teenagers, but they're behind the new clothing line that dares Kansas Cityans to be bold. Yes, that's kind of the whole thing. They're in Kansas City, and they began the Bold Apparel Company, started on the playground. Two friends, Dean and Charlie, were 8 at the time, selling rocks and acorns to their peers. A few years later, they recruited their friends Andrew, AJ, and Colson, and Sam. Now, listen, these guys have got it covered. They could be a model. This is a new model for business for us. Amazing. And when it first started, Andrew said, I just basically thought it was a play date. They ultimately convinced their parents they were serious about starting an actual business, and they came up with Bold Apparel Company, which is an online t-shirt business based out of Kansas City. After we sold their first shirt, they were like, hey, we can do this. Now, here's the thing. Andrew is the floater of the group, meaning, you know, he helps whenever he is needed. Charlie and Dean, the original founders, head up inventory and finance, respectively. Colson, AJ, and Sam oversee social media, customer service, and marketing, respectively. Holly, Charlie's mom, said, I think their energy to keep it going is a combination of encouragement and their own interests. They meet every Friday. They go over the logistics of their young business, including the branding, finances, inventory, filling customers' orders. It's so great to see them excel at something that's their own. They started to feel, you know, pretty good about it, and so did the parents. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? You guys are going places. 12-year-old boys work with a designer and screen printing company to make their shirts. They come up with all these concepts. I got a lot of ideas for them. I can't remember them. Maybe if I dig deep, I can, but I'm always coming up with these. I have a son who learned how to screen print and stuff, and he's made T-shirts and things before, so we always talk about, I got ideas for T-shirts. They're pretty good, too. But I need to let these guys know about it, don't I? I really do. I mean, they got their own ideas, but, I mean, you know, and they want to expand. They don't want to just be in Kansas City. They want to go to other states and maybe even other countries. Why not? 6 different kids with their own set of talents, proving anyone can be an entrepreneur if you stay the course. It's just amazing. People are just, they said, it's just such a combination of kids. I'll post the article on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook news feed, and you got a little video there, and certainly the photograph, you can tell. And the boys' message to us, if you're not selling anything, you've just got to keep going. Just don't give up and keep going. It gets easier and easier as you go on. It did for them anyway, I guess. You can visit their website. I'll post this whole article on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page. All I had to say was...
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
What was the reason that Columbus set sail? You'd probably hear some different things about that. I guess Columbus now is blamed for opening the floodgates of exploration. I'm one of those people that thinks, well, it was coming anyway. You know, you had a pretty advanced culture brewing in Europe. They had invented the printing press, for goodness sakes. They had invented pocket watches and navigational instruments and ships to navigate on and things like that. They were moving around the world. They had an incredible, much better understanding than most people around the world that they ran into in the Americas, for one place. Anyway, but Columbus really said, you know, he pitched it. I'm looking for another way to the Spice Islands. Very important, very valuable to get to the Spice Islands. You know how you get to the Spice Islands in the old days? You went overland. That's how you did it. A very arduous task, especially since you went through the Middle East. That's where you had to go through. It was then run by the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims. And it got to be very difficult. And, of course, they knew you were loaded with treasure coming back. And it was very dangerous to be able to do, very dangerous. And they did that for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so the idea of, well, if there's a way we can get there by sailing out of our ports and getting there, this is like an answer to prayer. It's incredible, you know. Of course, he didn't know exactly where he was, obviously. Columbus didn't go quite as far as he thought. I can't even imagine getting on a ship, even in the 1800s, which just about everybody was doing, missionaries and all kinds of people in the mid, late 1800s, just going out on these ships, you know, for months. I said, you know, everything that happened on that little boat, which it was compared to today. It's just incredible. Just the idea you were going to be there for months. But the thing that's kind of, I see it as kind of funny is that Columbus never landed on any land that is now the United States. San Salvador, Dominican Republic, he named San Salvador our savior. I think according to his diary, his underlying motive was to evangelize. It's pretty amazing that he was going to go and evangelize. And of course, that has been the impetus from time on, ever since Jesus was resurrected and people wanted to spread the good news, to head out to foreign lands to evangelize, has always been a worthy goal and has always been something that people have done and, for the most part, a lot of times misunderstood.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Well, you got to hand it to Delta Airlines. I mean, they ended up with an all-female crew. And so, I mean, I'm sure it's a big deal. They took a bunch of girls, ages 12 to 18, and they flew them to the NASA headquarters in Houston. And the whole idea was to draw attention to the need to close the gender gap in aviation. STEM careers, right? Science and technology and engineering and math, according to a press release from the airline on Sunday. So it's pretty cool. They had a blast. I just remember I was talking about her just a couple of days ago. I think her name was it Mary Jean, Mary Jo, the pilot, the woman who was the pilot of the Southwest Airlines, who really kind of got famous because her plane had major malfunction. And as she said, no, I'm not on fire, but I've got a hole in the plane and somebody went out. That's what they told me. And the traffic controller was like, never mind about that. Okay, we'll just get you down on the ground. And she was so calm and collective. She was a Navy pilot. She wanted to fly ever since she was a little girl out in New Mexico and looked up at the Air Force pilots doing their maneuvers and stuff. And her mom said, you can't fly. You've got cavities. Don't ask. Anyway, that was disproven by her dad. So she was cleared to go. But she said, you know, as a woman, when she walked into the flight class the very first time, the instructor assumed she was looking for some other place and made mention of it right there in front of the class. You almost want to go back to that instructor, don't you? With your name tag that says Captain on it. See this? Captain. But she probably didn't because she had bigger things to do. So that was really pretty cool. Delta Wing Flight. It's called Women Inspiring Our Next Generation. Pretty cool. And it's a very much needed thing that they do. They touched down in Houston. The girls toured NASA's Mission Control Center, Johnson Space Center. Space Center in Houston, spoke with other women in the aviation field. That's probably the biggest thing right there, including Jeanette Epps, who's a NASA astronaut and space engineer. Delta worked with the Salt Lake City schools. That's where they flew out of. They have the STEM aviation program. And some of the students were from advanced learning centers around the area right there. So it's really pretty cool. And I'll post that article. You can check it out. Maybe find out more for our area. Who knows? You know, maybe Mall Airways will fly enough, but maybe we can. Maybe we can get a flight out of Albany or White Plains or something. I'll post it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page for you.
The sound of life.
His name is George. He does play for Stanford University, and he's always considered his stepfather to be his father and his family. And he realized that his stepfather's name will not go on unless he changes his name. So at 22... He shared the moment, and he revealed it during the football game, and to his dad, the one he feels like is his dad, his stepdad. So he legally changed his name to his stepdad's last name. He says he's always been my dad. He doesn't have anyone to carry on his last name. He's raised me ever since I was in the second grade. I feel like I owe it to him to carry on his last name. I just want his legacy to live on forever. I don't want it to end with him. He had changed it back in September, but he didn't tell him, you know, and boy, there's nothing like Nothing like that surprise, huh? Isn't that cool? Surprise your stepdad with his last name on the back of your uniform.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
I was talking about, I don't know if you remember talking about the kid Carson. Carson, the guy's name. He was on ESPN Game Day. Oh, man, what has it been, a month or so? ESPN, every Saturday morning, they go out to a college, and it turned out to be a really raucous affair where they talk about college football for the day outside, generally, with all these students that are up at this crazy hour on Saturday morning, and they're all, you know, yelling and cavorting and all this kind of stuff. People have signs and everything, and it's all, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek and a joke and things like that. Well, Carson kind of had a big sign out there that, of course, he said it was a joke because his mom got a hold of him and said, you say, well, is that a joke? He said, yes, ma'am. So, but it had to do with his lack of refreshments and needed money for refreshments. And he happened to put on there Venmo, which is a payment method, Carson-King-25. And so that gave people watching an opportunity to give to his fund. He said, I did it as a joke. He was incredibly surprised that by the end of the day, he had accumulated $1,000 in it. And that's probably about the time his mom got a hold of him and said, we got to do something with this because you're not spending $1,000 for refreshments. And so they decided that they would give the money to the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. Isn't that cool? I mean, out of all that. And so different people have gotten on board, including refreshment companies. You know, they said, hey, we'll get on there too. It kind of became a news item. And once it becomes a news item, ooh, there's publicity and stuff. And so companies were jumping in on it. And you should know that he did post that his donations for his college game day sign for the refreshment has reached a pretty high amount. And so right now they've stopped doing it, and he presented the University of Iowa Children's Hospital with a check. Now I want to make sure I've got this right. Because, let's see here, this is amazing. I mean, you're not going to believe this. I hope you're sitting down. They transferred the money from his Venmo account to the hospital alongside a patient. A lot of people have donated to this when it made headlines, of course. He presented a check to the hospital for $3,004,000. So just over $3 million was presented to he's an Iowa State University fan, so you know, it's a pretty big deal. And it kind of makes you wonder, though, you know, here's something that's just started. See, if you tried to do that as a publicity stunt, I guarantee you some people are thinking, oh, I bet you that was a big publicity stunt they did on purpose. No way. Things like that are so grassroots. They just start, and they're organic and all that kind of stuff. Like, if, for instance, if I was going to do something silly for the radio station, you know, to try to do something to give them, raise money during our fall Days of Joy fundraiser thing, it would probably backfire, wouldn't it? It would.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Things that make grown men cry. You know, a lot of times they happen on a field of sports, believe it or not. But this one happened at a really bad traffic accident, or a scene. I mean, it's a bad scene anyway. I didn't mean to. It was a traffic accident. But it got posted out on the fire department Facebook page, said, and I quote, our A-shift battalion chief and captain were on the scene of a motor vehicle accident where a small female child was not injured but very scared. What do you do? After noticing she was holding bottles of fingernail polish, the two officers started talking to her about her polish and asked if she would paint their nails. Within minutes, the little girl was calmly painting their nails and had forgotten all about the accident she had just experienced. Chief Mark commented their response on the scene in a Facebook comment, writing, "Kudos to these great guys that serve our community. It's just the little things that make a huge difference." Whew, isn't it, though? Mm. He hailed his colleagues' representation of the fire district's core values, safety, compassion, customer service, which are at the center of the fire district's bullseye badge. To even notice her is pretty amazing. And to take note of her, you know, situation and stuff, and then to let them do it. And then they get to proudly display that purple nail polish around.
A great way to start your day, the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Love your radio station. I listen to it every morning. It wakes me up. It inspires me. It gets me going.
The sound of life.
Well, 250,000 students gathered last week, and all because Fellowship of Christian Athletes asked them to. They have a Fields of Faith program, and students gathered at more. Now, these 250,000 wasn't on just one field. I think that would be impossible. There were more than 500 football fields nationwide that they gathered on. And as the director of ministry advancement, Jeff Martin, said, in a world where bad news seems to be the norm, we're happy to share the great news that lives are being changed through Fields of Faith. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Fields of Faith. It's pretty amazing. From the student leaders who take on the responsibility to bring Fields of Faith to their communities, kudos to you, the skeptical or hurting teen who might be attending for the first time. We see time and again that Fields of Faith motivates, energizes, and rejuvenates and unites. Yes, it does. That's pretty encouraging right there. I guess they started going back in 2002. Wowee. And they've had great success and been growing ever since. Just inspiring to watch kids, our future, really, the future, right there, bring themselves in. It's actually for several weeks, you know, probably a once in a lifetime experience for them. It's pretty cool. Absolutely very cool. I'll tell you about one. Frederick Douglass High School football player group in Baltimore. They had a specific prayer in mind when they gathered Wednesday morning. Peace from violence. That was their prayer right there. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It gives hope to our young people, and definitely we need that in the city right now. That's what they said.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and you know, day is going to get better and better.
Gal Gadot is her name. She's an Israeli actress who played Wonder Woman recently, and she has announced that her and her husband have formed a production company called Pilot Wave. I know her name is something like that. It has something to do with wave and water and stuff like that. Gal Gadot, I think. But anyway, Pilot Wave is the company. Guess what they are going to do? They're going to make a story about a real Wonder Woman. Now, this goes in line with just, I don't know if it's me or if it's just because it's a time in history when a lot of stories are coming out of a terrible time in world history, and that would be, of course, the domination of Europe by the Nazis and the death camps they started. Forgive me if I'm bringing up a thing like that, but I've just seen a lot of it. Recently, I have liked the Auschwitz Memorial on Twitter, which memorializes a person, and it's a very, very sad thing to have to do and to remember that. But they want to make you aware this is a reality of what happened in that era, but also is the reality of some incredibly brave people. And I've been finding out more about those over the weekend. I was watching a program. It was, I think, Holocaust Memorial, and they were talking about one woman. I think it was her grandfather who found out that he could get kids sponsored in England. You had to have a place for them to go, and it took so much money per child. And he started raising the money and getting the children to get them out of one of the primary places was the ghetto in Warsaw, Poland. But just getting them out of Europe when they were in danger. And this lady did exactly the same thing. She was just mucho brave. I mean, over the top right here. Her name was Irina Sindler. And this is going to be a historical thriller. I mean, if ever there was a situation you find out about something in history and you think, man, they should make a movie about that, and they're going to do that. It was in 1942. The Nazis had forced nearly 500,000 Jews into the Warsaw Ghetto. Of course, they found out they were awaiting deportation and death. So, Irina, wearing a nurse's uniform, and she actually had a colleague named Irina Schultz. So the two Irinas went into the ghetto to provide aid and medical care to Jewish families. Ah, yes. But they, when they realized that these families were going to be deported, they were deporting them out to the death camps. They launched an undercover mission to smuggle the Jewish children out of the camp. That was the plan. Of course, that was the way to save the family, and it was the most practical means to do that. Although some of the children were pretty small, and you had ramifications of that. But her team managed to smuggle thousands of children out of the ghetto. They were in coffins. They were in suitcases. They were in ambulances. They were in sacks. And even through the sewage system from time to time, they were placed permanently with Christian families and nuns in convents when they got there. Okay? However, the bad part of that is, and I think she saved like 2,500 kids. It was phenomenal. But the Gestapo eventually found out. They raided her house and they tortured her. She refused to tell them where the children went. God bless her. And she eventually was sentenced to death. But did God intervene in this or what? It was incredible. The guards were bribed on the day of her execution. Bribed with what and by who? I don't know. And she escaped. She escaped and she passed away in 2008. She was 98 years old. She, in the meantime, after that, she was recognized by the State of Israel as a Righteous Among the Nations person. That was in 1965. It gave her an honorary citizenship in 91. She also received the Gold Cross of Merit and the Order of White Eagle. That's Poland's highest honor for her role in saving the Jews. An incredible story right there. I just thought I wanted to relate it to you. I don't know what the movie's going to be named, though. But look for that. All right, look for that, the story of the woman wearing the nurse's uniform. The two Irinas, I guess. They were the real superheroes right there. Wow. Love to remember stories like that. Love.
The sound of life.
Hey, we got a principal of a school in Pennsylvania that wants to connect with his community and showcase positivity with a really special tool, and he has decided to use, are you ready for this, Facebook. That's right. That's his special tool, is Facebook. It's pretty cool. You're going to hear from him here in just a second. Dr. Philip K. Woods. He uses a social media to share videos like a DJ at lunch, a pie eating contest. Pretty cool. Sometimes just thinking outside the box, he said.
Just sometimes thinking outside the box. You got to take a risk every once in a while and see how it works. If it works, then we continue. If it's something that fails, then we don't utilize it anymore. But the kids responded appropriately. The staff enjoyed it. The families enjoyed it. And we just want them to know that school is a safe environment to come to where you can grow, progress, and help these students reach their goals.
I like him. Help these students reach their goals. That's right. Unique outreach has included leaving the Pittsburgh area to visit a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game. That's a pretty cool school. That's the guy, you know, you can get around that, right? My mom, listen, she said, I was like, what if this ruins my my day here? I had it all. He told me before coming. He wants to connect to people. Wood said he wants to connect, and I kind of messed up the story, but it's pretty cool the way he's doing it on Facebook there. 12 communities he's connected using social media. So there's always, where there's, you know, something, there's always a positive and a negative, and you got to love the people that take it and use it for the positive, especially in schools.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The sound of life.
This has got to be a first world problem. Does anybody in the world, anywhere else in the world, rake their leaves? I mean, all the equipment. I love this man. He was a former neighbor. His wife said he's retired. He's got, you know, he's got to do, he had a machine for every leaf that hit the ground. He could blow it, he could suck it, he could chew it up, everything you can possibly think of. He had equipment to take care of those leaves. When they hit his driveway, they were going to meet him. This is really kind of cool. Well, my leaf story begins when we got married and we moved. We lived in North Carolina for a couple of years. We didn't deal with leaves because we lived in a condo. So we moved here. We lived on Route 9 in Dutchess County. And we had these old trees that just dumped bazillions of leaves on them. We'd rake them into these massive piles. And what do? We lived right on the edge of the village. So I get a burn permit, and then I burn them. And you know what happens then, of course? It's smoke. And then the smoke invariably drifts over in the village. And, boy, they're not happy. They come over and see me. I had a permit. I was legal. So, you know, state troopers came flying up the road one time. I guess it went across the highway. He looked at it, turned around, went back. So it was just a nightmare. I dreaded it so much. I really did. And then we moved into Columbia County, had a little bit more land. I raked them too and put them on the big tarp and took them out, put them in the garden out back that the previous owner had and things. And it's just so time consuming and stuff. And then it came to me, why don't I just try to mulch them? You know, so I had a riding mower by then, and I put the block inside and stuff, and, you know, the block so the leaves wouldn't blow out. And I tried it, and I thought, this is a mess. I mean, you know, it did. But after I did it and went over the yard and I'm looking, when, you know, it didn't really look that great. But after a couple of days, boom, it looked fantastic. And of course, you have to get out there on your mower all bundled up a lot of times. You're out there around Thanksgiving. But now the research has shown that is the best thing you can do for your leaves. It really doesn't hurt your lawn if you just let them lay there. But it's really good. They will dissipate faster and turn into fertilizer and nourish your lawn faster if you mulch them, because you're turning that leaf into hundreds of little tiny little leaves that'll dissipate, you know, they'll rot, really, what they do faster. So all the work and stuff that we do, we just want our yard to look good. That's the whole thing about it. That's what it is. I know, because I've had that feeling myself. When it's all cleaned up and the leaves are all gone and, you know, you can see the yard, it just looks good. But that's a lot of effort, and it's not necessarily that good for the leaves. So instead of trying to burn them, smoke out the village, probably this is a lot better idea. I felt a lot better about it. And now the researchers at the University of Minnesota, they advise either mow over your leaves. Best thing to do is with the mulcher, you know, mulching blade or block it or something. So there you go. Little fall advice. If the leaves ever dry out, we can do
that. That's awesome.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
Well, it's on the way, and I'm going to mention it. I mention it every year somehow, and every year people fuss at me for mentioning it. But it's that time of the year, and I joke about it because other people joke about it who love the Lord and realize that it's kind of inconsequential as far as in the whole scheme of things. It really is just a blip on the radar, but sometimes we get just embroiled in, you know, what to do and all that stuff. And I joke about running into the drugstore, which is true. I mean, you know, nothing like having just your heart stopping scared because you look up and there's an 11-foot angel of death standing there. I don't know how that's supposed to be fun. But, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, thanks. It's great. But it is coming up on that season of trick-or-treating. I like to call it trick-or-treating, you know. And as the kids say, what a great deal going out and asking for candy. And more about that coming up, because churches have done an alternative to be proactive during the season, trick or treat day, and have come up with something like the harvest party or trunk or treat. And Johnny W is a comedian. And of course, they specialize in what are we doing anyway? But in all seriousness, to be missional during the trick-or-treat season, as someone said, when else do people come to your house? They're coming to your house to see what's going on. And you control what is going on there. And you can fire up the grill and invite the neighborhood over. You can do pre-trick-or-treat snacks or something, right? You can lead your family on a twist to the typical scavenger hunt and make up a list of, well, service projects to be completed in an hour. Something that's very interesting there. You can provide a place for parents and kids to warm up. If you're in the great Northeast, they don't have that problem down south so much, but you can hand out a published track. I would attach it to the biggest candy bar you can find, which nowadays isn't that big, but you can, you know, I think some of them are still good. You can do what is known as reverse trick-or-treating. Now, this is really pretty. I would have never thought of this in a million years. How surprised will your neighbors be when they get treats instead of having to give them out? I asked the kids in my neighborhood, which there are three of them. Hey, you guys going trick-or-treating? Yeah. I said, do you go right here, or do you, like, your dad takes you? Oh, yeah, our dad's taking. We're going to a neighborhood. So if you live in one of those neighborhoods, and I've been there, where people are bussed in, you know, it's a handful. It really is. But I just pray that you'll think of some way to be proactive. I'm thinking, I told my wife, I said, well, we're getting some candy, and we're giving it to the kids. I mean, you know, because I want them to remember me in a good way. And, you know, of course, chocolate and sugar and nougats are a way for kids to remember you. And when their parents are taking them to the dentist, they'll really remember. No, I'm just joking. But it's kind of a neat article about five ways that I just listed here, thinking of things off the top of my head, too, to be missional during the trick-or-treat season. But as Johnny W. points out, our churches, it was announced in his church, you know, what we're going to do. And it is kind of funny when you think about it this way.
My church is one of those churches that does the trunk-or-treat Harvest Festival. Trunk or treat. It's fun, man. It's
Where's
fun.
The harvest?
This is weird. Pastor gets up to announce it. All right, guys, we know we live in a different world now, okay? You can't be going door to door, knocking on doors, asking for candy. It's not safe. It's a different world now, man. What we're going to do, we're going to line up all the cars in the parking lot. In the dark. Decorate them, and we're going to teach kids that car trunks may be full of delicious candy.
The sound of life.
So you may be thinking, you know, if you're in a school still, any kind of school, college, maybe in graduate school, you kind of wonder, you're headed for a purpose maybe, or if you're like me, when I was a senior in high school, I had no idea. My head was spinning. What in the world do I do? I don't know what to do. I'll do something in business. Something like that. But listen, you don't have to make up your mind. You can be in your 50s or 60s and make up your mind. Chuck, my calculations, was in his 50s when he decided to volunteer to help build a house with Habitat for Humanity. They partner with people who are not able to financially go out and buy a house on the market. And it's pretty remarkable. The people invest time and money as best they can in a house. But all these volunteers will build them a Habitat for Humanity house. A lot of people think Habitat just builds it and gives it away. They don't. No, they don't. That's a big partnership. However, Chuck volunteered for the very first time, and it was incredible what he heard about the house there. And since he started years ago, back in 98, I believe, he's built or helped build over 165 houses. Now he's 76 years old. He's still going strong. He thought he was just going to volunteer one time. But here's what happened that one time. He met a pair of sisters who were so excited to share a room together. You know, you perk up when they're so excited, not because they were going to have their own room, but because they would share a room together, the sisters, because where they're coming from, they not only shared room with their mom and their brother, and they shared the bed. That kind of changes everything. He is building something that is changing their life, and he didn't even realize it. You know, he thought, yeah, I'd go hammer some nails and stuff. Maybe he was in construction. Maybe he had his own company. I don't know. He said, I was happy to be able to do it that day, but I didn't intend on going back until I heard that story. And I thought, man, this is something. I really enjoy this. See, I still think he's proving my theory that all of us somehow are hardwired, even a little bit, but some of us more than others. that when we give, something happens inside of us. It's kind of like when we exercise. You go exercise, you run, or you lift weights, or whatever, to do push-ups, or whatever it is. There's a certain thing that happens chemically in your body, and it makes you feel good. It really does. It's something in that. So he's been giving people stories like that, just by hammer and nails and stuff. He said, I'm tired, I'm worn out, but I feel so much better having done what I do. I've been blessed with a great life. The ability to be able to give that back in any way I can is a blessing to me. Is that something? You see him out there sweating and all that, and it's hard, and you're tired and dirty. You don't think, oh, he's being so blessed. You think he's blessing those people in a terrific way. And if you're thinking, because Habitat's all over the United States, they're around here as well, too, and their website is very easy, very simple to get a hold of. It's habitat.org. That's it, habitat.org. And, send Kristen Pierce a message on Facebook or Twitter if you want to share what's right in your neighborhood, too.
Cup of Joe Morning Show.
In the coffee of life, we're your sweet.
The sound of life.
You probably realize that complimenting your child, especially your son, on his leadership ability can go a long way toward building confidence and belief in himself. And really, that's what you want, no matter what they're inclined to do, you know, as a job or something in that nature. But that's what you really want them to do, right? And so, and you have to be reminded, I think, occasionally from time to time, because you get into the, I know I do, you get into the don't do this and do this, you know, and the correctional stuff all the time, that we forget to say you have a great sense of humor. I mean, something like that, that's a really, I mean, you know, it has to be true, of course, don't be flattering. You're one brave kid, you're brave, you know, especially they tell you something you did. And they're talking about that. Man, you sure are brave. I don't know if I could do that. This is pretty cool. You have a great self-centered, self-control. That's what I was going to say. You have great self-control. When they have great self-control, be sure to tell them that. You are very helpful to your sister or to your brother. You're very helpful. There's something that I've been thinking about ever since I heard it. And I actually don't know if it's true or not. But when Muhammad Ali was boxing, was in his heyday, his trainer was Angelo Dundee. And they asked Angelo Dundee one time about, or he was talking about how he trains him, and he watches video, of course, and he said, if I see something that I want him to do, for instance, I want him to bend his knees more, I will tell him, boy, I like the way you bend your knees. Isn't that interesting? I like the way you're doing that. And that is hard to do. It really is, because you're thinking, well, they're not doing it. How can you tell that? I like the way you do. Anyway, but then you be sure to tell them that you're proud of them. You know, just be careful about saying, and maybe have a tendency to do that. You can't do that, you know, that kind of thing, when they're trying to learn to do something like that. There's a whole thing for daughters as well, too. 10 compliments you share with your daughters, and it's from iMom. I would never think of this on my own. And it's really pretty cool. You know, like, your wise choices make me proud. When they make a wise choice, be sure to say that. You have such a spontaneous spirit. You know, but that's really good. It's a really cool thing. It's a really cool thing. You show kindness in your words and actions. We always complimented our kids because when they were out in public, they didn't act like they did at home. They acted really bad at home, you know, for some reason. They'd fight each other and all that kind of stuff. But when they were out in public, they respected authority. We always told them about that. It was really pretty cool. We've had some really heart-to-heart talks about how they were disciplined, what they were thinking, things like that, you know. It's tough. It's really tough. Tell your daughter you carry yourself with such grace. You know, all kinds of things. I'll post the whole article for you on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.